This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abam, welcome everyone. Shalom Aleichem. If you came this evening, then your great-grandmother must have prayed very well that you should be zeicha to hear this information. We have really remarkable material in honor of the close of Sefer Bereishis. This was a shiur many years in the work, and the shiurim on Sefer Bereishis were, again, generously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim, Umishmachta Leonishmas, Hashem Eliezer ben Rabbi Yaakov Zakheim, and Leonishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tzvi Halevi, Began Eden, Tehemenu Chasam. They should be Melitza Yisharm for their whole family, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Kelly Newman in dedication to the hostages. May Hashem free them, Bekarov. May they be reunited with their families, and in honor of the families of the hostages, Hashem should be Merachim Aleihem. Okay, so we're now concluding Sefer Bereishis. So next week is Shemois. If you don't have yet Sefer Shemois, the Hebrew Sefer Magid Arkeon Shemois, you could get it right here. Or you could order it online. Go to our site, rabbidg.com, and make sure you have it in time for Sefer Shemois. Also, if you didn't yet get Rabbi Meir Balanes and the Eternal Children of Hashem, you're going to need it for Sefer Shemois. Rabbi Shmuel, you know, for Sefer Shemois, there are a lot of chapters on this. You have a chapter on Parshas Bereishis, on Parshas Boy, on Parshas Beshalach, two on Beshalach, one on Yisroi. So, make sure you get that. Rabbi Isai, tonight's shiur might be the most out there of any shiur we ever gave since we began. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts, and I mean it. Yaakov Avinu, in his dying words, is mavarech his children, and he turns to each one, ish kibrachasai beirachoisam, and we discussed earlier in the week what the intention of Yaakov Avinu was. He said words to Reuven, to Shimon, to Levi, to Yehuda, to Yisachar, to all the Shvatim, but one of the most mysterious aspects of what we call Berchas Yaakov is what Yaakov Avinu says to Dan. The pasuk says, "Dan yadin amai." Dan will judge his people, ke'achad shivtei Yisrael, like the most special, like the most designated of all the tribes. What does that mean? By the way, this pasuk is very dear to me. I say this pasuk at least three times a day. Anybody know why? Every time I take three steps back, I am. That was the name I was given. When I was born, my parents had divine spirit. Reb Ezra, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. Okay, you need to come for this one. Welcome back. Okay, when I was born, my parents were given Ruach HaKodesh. How are you? And Reb Ezriel, welcome, welcome. And they named me Daniel. So every time I take three steps back, I say the pasuk, Dan Yadin Amoy Ka'achad Shivtei Yisrael. This is the blessing given to Dan. Dan will judge his people, literally, like one of the tribes of Israel. Yehi Dan Nachash Alei Derech. Dan should be like a snake on the road. Shefifa in Alei Oirach. A serpent on the path. Hanoi Sheikh Ikveisus. Who bites the heel of the horse. Vayipal Roich Vayachar. And he casts the rider backward, Lishua Secha Kivisi Hashem, for your salvation I hope. So we have a number of questions over here. Number one, Rashi tells us, what does it mean, Dan Yadin Amoy? Dan Yadin Amoy means Dan not will judge his people. Dan will take the vengeance of his people. Dan will take revenge for his people. Against who? Against the Gazans, against the Plishtim. Dan will take revenge against Plishtim. Ke'achad shivtei Yisrael, says Rashi. What does this refer to? Kol Yisrael yu ke'echad imai. All of Israel will unite with him. Ve'ez kulam yadin. He will take revenge for all of them. Ve'al Shimshon niva nevuazu. This prophecy was said about Shimshon Hagibar, who took revenge for the Jewish people against the Plishtim. So it's very interesting. Rashi's saying, here Yaakov's is on his deathbed, and he's thinking, what could he judge the people? What could he judge this shevet? And he doesn't, what could he bless the Shevet? He doesn't bless them. He refers to one individual. He doesn't say one word about Dan. It's prophesied about one person. Who is it? Shimshon HaGibar. And Yaakovino is saying Shimshon will take revenge for all of Israel. And Shimshon, who represents Dan, will be like a snake on the road, like a serpent on the path. And Vayapel, Vayipal Roichvay Achar, without touching them, he will cast them down. Says Rashi, this is what happened with Shimshon, where he grabs the two poles, the two beams of the house. We all know in the story of Shimshon that Shimshon was captured by the Philistines, and they're all there marrying. He's entertaining them because they blinded him, and he's standing there. They were going to kill him, and he is leaning on the two poles holding up the house, and there are 3,000 Philistines on the roof, and he dislodges the beams holding up the roof, and 3,000 of them fall to his death, to their death. And Shimshon HaGibar says, Tomos Nafshi Im HaPlishtim. And then Yaakov Avinu says, Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem. For your salvation, I hope Hashem. What is Yaakov Avinu saying when he says, for your salvation, I hope? Says Rashi, this is a prophecy that the Philistines will blind Shimshon HaGibar, and he's destined to say, Zachreinina, Zachreinina, remember me, please. V'chazkeinina, strengthen me, please. Achapam hazeh, just this time. You don't know the song. It's after your time. But the song, Zachreinina, V'chazkeinina, Achapam. So there are a few questions on Rashi. The first question is, Yaakov Avinu is looking into the future of Shevet Dan, and the only thing he hones in on, nothing about the tribe as a whole, but instead Yaakov Avinu is honed in on Shimshon HaGibar, who's taking revenge for the Jewish people in Gaza. That's the only thing Yaakov Avinu sees. Here we have a wonderful Shevet, Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael, and the only thing Yaakov Avinu sees is what Shimshon HaGibar will perpetrate against the Philistines. So question number one is, why is Yaakov Avinu focused on this? Question number two is, what is he saying, Lishuas HaKavisi Hashem? He's saying Kriya Shema Lamita here? Yaakov Avinu is about to go to sleep, I guess, for a long time. So he has to say, what's he saying, Lishuas HaKavisi Hashem? Why doesn't he say, Vidoy? Why doesn't he say, Bia Adoy Noilam? Where does Lishuas HaKavisi Hashem come in? Comes the Rashbam. And this shir that I'm telling you is a Shvilei Pinchas classic. It's one of the most brilliant, ingenious, novel, original approaches of, I think, in all of the pieces of Hagoyin Rav Pinchas Friedman Shlita. And I am aware that Gedolei Yisrael said that this approach was divinely inspired. Okay? I wanted to say it over a number of times, but it's out there. This approach is very special, very creative and original. It required tremendous preparation to put it together. These are not my ideas. Maybe one little humble addition, but it required tremendous avoda to get this down, to prepare it. This is the last year on Bereishis. Hopefully this will wrap up Bereishis Chelek 2. But so it was now or never. So I got back very late last night. I was away in the beginning of the week. I got back very late. And I literally, right before, just finished this. So, but it's something really out of this world. Comes the Rashbam. The Rashbam was the grandson of Rashi. We, in a shir many years ago, discussed how the Rashbam challenged Rashi. The Rashbam felt that Rashi's modus operandi in explaining the Torah is va'ani loy basi elo l'pshuta shemekra. Rashi's approach to Chumash is, I've come to explain the simple meaning of the psukim. And the Rashbam challenged Rashi. He says, Rashi, you're not explaining oimek pshuta shemekra, the depth of the simplicity of the pasuk. And we explained in Parshas Vayeshev how the Rashbam disagrees with Rashi about Mechiras Yosef and other episodes, and here's a prime example where the Rashbam says that Rashi He doesn't refer to Rashi because he has Derech Eretz. He criticizes those who explain the pasuk in the following way. He's obviously referring to Rashi, but in respect for his grandfather, he doesn't say Rashi by name. He says anyone who says this pasuk is talking about Shimshon HaGibar does not know the depth of Pshutai Shel Mikra. You think Yaakov Avinu is prophesying about one guy who ultimately falls into the hands of the Philistines and they pierce out his eye and he dies with the Philistines in a very bad way. Chalila, chalila, to explain the episode this way. Heaven forbid to say that when Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed, he's thinking into the future and he's only thinking of Shimshon HaGibar. Heaven forbid, says the Rashbam, it's going on Shevet Dan. Shevet Dan was Ma'asef L'chal HaMachanois. And Yehoshua, even in the times of Yehoshua, they gathered in the back of the camp. And since historically Shevet Dan always trailed behind the rest of Klal Yisrael, and therefore they were vulnerable to those who wanted to attack from behind. So Yaakov Avinu is davening for them, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, Hashem should give them strength, and Hashem should give them salvation. But to say that, like Rashi, that it's referring specifically to Shimshon HaGibar, how could you say it's referring to Shimshon HaGibar? He's one guy who ultimately falls and he seems to fail in his efforts. So the Rashbam says, in for all intents and purposes, Rashi's incorrect. Not only that, he didn't know to be Yoyred La'omek B'shuz HaMikra, Chalila. The only thing is, the Medrash says that when the Medrash comments on the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Dan, the Medrash says every word of Yaakov Avinu was not intended for Dan, it was intended for Shimshon HaGibar. The Lashon of the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah is Lefisha Birkas Yaakov Ladan Laihoisa Ella Al Shem Shimshon. The blessing of Yaakov to Dan was only to Shimshon. So this is what the Medrash is telling us. We have a great obligation to defend Rashi, and the Medrash concurs with Rashi. But we need to explore a little bit who exactly was Shimshon HaGibar. Possibly one of the most mysterious personalities in the entire Tanakh. The Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah that when Yaakov saw Shimshon HaGibar, look at the words, Lefi Shehaya Yaakov Avinu Raya Oisai V'Savar Bai Shehu Melech HaMashiach. Yaakov Avinu thought Shimshon HaGibar was the Messiah. He was Mashiach. V'Savar Bai Shehu Melech HaMashiach. Why? But then he saw he died. Nah, sorry. Can't be Mashiach. V'Savar Bai Shehu Melech HaMashiach. Kivan Shara Yisa Shemes Amar Af Zemes. He said, even this one dies? Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. God, I hope to your salvation. The Medrash continues in the end. When Yaakov saw him, he thought the geula would come in his lifetime. When he died, he then prayed, Ay Hashem, lishuascha kivisi Hashem. So, how do we understand this? Yaakov Avinu thought Shimshon HaGibar was Melech HaMashiach? There's no one who saw prophetically clearer then Yaakov Avinu saw in front of him. He thought he saw thousands of years ahead, like it was in front of his nose, and he thought Shimshon HaGibar was Melech HaMashiach. What about Shimshon HaGibar made Yaakov think that he was Melech HaMashiach? By the way, furthermore, the Medrash says in the pasuk, "Dan Yadin Amoy Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael." Dan will judge his nation like the special one of Israel. You know who the special one is? Like God. The Medrash says Shimshon was like the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ve'izeh zeh Shimshon ben Manoach ki yechidoi shel olam. Ma yechidoi shel olam ein tzarich siyua. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need help, Shimshon doesn't need help. Do we say about anyone in the whole Torah, he's ki yechidoi shel olam? No. So Yaakov thought he was Melech HaMashiach. And the Medrash is reading the pasuk Dan Yadin Amay Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael, that Yaakov Avinu is saying he's like the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need help, so Shimshon doesn't need help. He doesn't need help doing what? Another statement of Chazal, Gemara in Sota Daf Yod, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shimshon Dan Es Yisrael ka'avihem shabashamayim. Shimshon judged Israel like God. Why? It says, don yadin amay ka'achad shiftei Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says further, anyone here names Shimshon? Just checking. You could say, nothing will happen. I won't tell your wife. She doesn't have to know. Okay, I'm just checking. Says the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan, Shimshon al shmoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra. Shimshon was called by the name of God. Shenemar, ki shemesh umagein Hashem alaykim. God is like the sun. So Shimshon was like the sun. Listen to Akasha, the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, really? Shimshon had the name of God? Then you shouldn't be allowed to erase Shimshon's name. Elameyato lo yimacha. You shouldn't be allowed to erase Shimshon's name. Says the Gemara, Elameyain Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's similar to God's name. Just like God protects the world, Shimshon protects his generation. So the first question here, and here's something we're adding to the presentation. What was the Gemara's Havamina that Shimshon has the name of God? And that you shouldn't be allowed to erase it? Why shouldn't you be allowed to erase the name of Shimshon? How is it the name of God? What is it about the name Shimshon that is similar to the name of Hashem? So you may be familiar. Reb Shamshon of Ashtapol, and we'll come back to him in the end of this year, wrote a treatise to be said on Erev Pesach about the divine names that were utilized to bring the Makos. Okay. There's a commentary on this Maimer of Reb Shamshon Rashapoli from Rav who wrote a Perush. It's called Shemesh Umagen. And there he says something out of this world. He says, the ultimate name of Hashem, what's Hashem's name? Yud Kei Vav Kei. If you concentrate it, like Yud Kei Vav Kei to the greatest power, like Yud Kei Vav Kei times Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's Yud Kei Vav Kei times Yud Kei Vav Kei? What's 26 times 26? I'll tell you, otherwise it looks like we're going to be here a very long time. Yeah, what's 26 times 26? 676. It's the gematria of Shimshon. Shimshon is 26 times 26. Aye, but Shimshon is not 676. It's 696. Shimshon is 696, and 26 times 26 is 676. Yeah, but let's imagine this for a moment. You have Yud Kei Vav Kei on top of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Yud Kei Vav Kei times Yud Kei Vav Kei. But spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei fully. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. Hey is Hey Aleph. Vav is Vav Yud Vav. And then Hey is Hey Aleph, 10 letters. So it's 10 letters on top of 10 letters. So 676 plus the 20 letters of the two Yud Kei Vav Kei, 696. Shimshon is the full name of Hashem, 26 times 26 plus the 20 letters of the two Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Shimshon has, to an extent, a commonality with the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So on the one hand, Rabbi Isai, Shimshon was a very special individual. Yaakov thought he was Mashiach. The Gemara says he is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He judges Klal Yisrael like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like God doesn't need help, he doesn't need help. And by the way, we know, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story. But before that, we sort of have to come to a dichotomy and a dilemma over here. Because the Rabbeinu Bechaye says that Shimshon ultimately is going to be in a very compromised situation. And he's going to cry out, Zachreini na! Chazkeini na! And therefore Yaakov Avinu davens for him. And he says, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. So on the one hand, Shimshon is one of the greatest people who ever lived. And on the other hand, the Gemara says in Soita, commenting on the Mishnah, where the Mishnah criticizes Shimshon very severely. The Mishnah says, Shimshon halach acharinav. Shimshon followed his eyes. Therefore, the Philistines pierced his eyes. Like it says, Vayoychazuhu plishtim vayenakru aseinav. Says Gemara in Saita, Shimshon rebelled with his eyes because Shimshon saw a woman, and she says to his parents, "I want that lady." And they say, "There are not enough girls from Beis Yaakov that you need to marry a shiksa." It's a good question. You know how many? I mean, some Beis Yaakov have 8 tracks. You have to go marry a shiksa. And he says, "No, but I want that one." And they say, "Why? He yashra be'inai. She's correct in my eyes." And he married her. He married a woman from the Philistines. And it didn't work out. We're going to see in a moment. And the Gemara says, because he followed his eyes, therefore the Philistines poked out his eyes. The Pasuk says, his father and his mother didn't know that Hashem arranged it. So what's wrong with what he did? God orchestrated that he should marry. God was the Shadchan. If God calls and says, "I have a good shidduch," you go with it. Says Gemara, but Shimshon didn't know that. He did it because he wanted her. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Omer, Shimshon's first misstep was in Gaza. He lived with a Zoyna in Gaza. You can't make this up. Could you make up? Here we are. We're in the middle of a war. And the parsha, the subject matter of the parsha, the Shimshon HaGibar, what happened in Gaza? Shimshon took a Zoyna in Gaza. Therefore, he was killed in Gaza. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Shimshon took a misstep in Gaza. But what do you mean? But it says he went to Timnasa. No, his misstep started in Gaza. So wait a second. On the one hand, you're saying Yaakov Avinu thought he was Melech HaMashiach. Yaakov Avinu thought the Geula would come in his days. Chazal say that Shimshon HaGibar judged the Jewish people like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Chazal say that Shimshon HaGibar didn't need help like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need help. And on the other hand, he succumbed to something that even regular people never do. Well, he went after his eyes, he took a Zoyna, he lived with a woman who was from the Philistines. So we know the Rambam. Everybody knows the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Biya, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, Tesvav. The Rambam says, don't make the mistake that Shimshon, who saved Klal Yisrael, just married a non-Jewish woman. He converted her.
Like Yehuda.
He converted her. Does that make things better for you? When you hear about a guy who, without getting into too many details, you know, who's up there politically, that he married Bas HaMelech, yeah? I mean, does it really answer the question that he converted her? Does that make things better? His parents said, "Why don't you take a Jewish woman?" "No, I want that one." "Oh, don't worry, he converted her." This is the Mashiach Shel Yisrael. This is the one that Yaakov Avinu thought was the Melech HaMashiach. So how exactly do we understand this? What do Chazal mean? Halach acharinav. So the Shvilei Pincha says, the first destination you need to go to, we're going to learn now a Maramakaim that we never presented this Maramakaim. Maybe one time in all the years we said over a chiddush from the Reziner, Rabbi Yisrael of Rezin, who is a Goyin Olam, and he says, in order to understand the episode of Shimshon, we need to know two pieces of information. You need to have two hakdamas. You know what a hakdam is? You need to be introduced to the following two ideas. Number one, the question is, Shimshon is Nazira like him. He is a Nazir from birth, and he's the one who's halach acharinav. So you need to know two things. Number one, Adam Arishon. You ever hear of Adam Arishon? Yeah? You know Adam Arishon? Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. When he ate from... Now, how many souls were on Adam Arishon? Our Chaim HaKadosh says in many places, all the future souls were in Adam Arishon. When he sinned with the Eitz Hadas, many souls were taken captive. Many of the souls were taken captive. And throughout Jewish history, it is the job of the Jewish people and tzaddikim to rescue these long-lost souls. How do you rescue souls? I thought you might ask that question. Well, you could start by coming to the Wednesday night shiur. When you come to learn Torah, you rescue souls. You don't even have to go out. They come to you like a magnet. They come to you. But sometimes tzaddikim are able, in their encounters with Rishayim, they're able to rescue long-lost souls. Now, some souls fall into levels of tumah. Now, did you know that everything in this world has sparks of kedusha in it? The table has a spark of kedusha in it. If it didn't, it would not exist. Every entity in the world has a soul, not a soul like man, but a living, but a spark of kedusha from which it nourishes. Every rasha in the world has to have a spark of kedusha, otherwise he couldn't exist. Even levels of tumah have to have sparks of kedusha, otherwise a level of tumah couldn't exist. So the first level of tumah has sparks of kedusha. The second level of tumah has sparks of kedusha. There are very, very deep levels of tumah that also have sparks of kedusha. That you need like specialists to extract. Like on the 40th level of tumah, you need a specialist to go down in there. Like sometimes if the, you know, when the pipes are clogged, so if it's just the sink, so you could do, sometimes do it yourself, you could unclog it. Sometimes if it's deep down, you gotta get Roto-Rooter to get deep down. Some clogs, you gotta get professionals. What sparks of kedusha on the deep levels of tumah, you need specialists to unclog. By the way, I want to share with you, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that why did we have to stay in Mitzrayim until we fell to the 49th level of tumah and then go out? Why couldn't we stay in the fifth? Why couldn't we go down to the 50th level of tumah? We're going to come back to that soon. But the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, well, we had to go down to the 49th level of tumah. You know why? Because we needed to scrape the bottom of the barrel. We needed to get every last droplet of Kedusha out of Mitzrayim. So we had to wait until we fell into the 49th level of Tumah so we could scrape out the Kedusha in the 49th level of Tumah. Otherwise, if we would have fallen to the 48th and then left, we would have had to come back to get the Kedusha of the 49th. So why didn't Hashem let us go to the 50th and get out the Kedusha from the 50th? So until now, we would say, well, it's the point of no return. Because once you fall to the 50th, you can never get out. It's not true. Why could you never get out? The only reason you can never get out is the only way to get Kedusha out of Tumah is if you're on the 49th level of Kedusha, you could take out Tumah on the 49th level of Tumah. So if you're on the first level of Kedusha, you're able to go down one and scrape out from the first level of Tumah. If you're on the 10th level of Kedusha, you could go deeper down. If you're on the 49th level of Kedusha, you could go down to the 49th level of Tumah and scrape out. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, who's on the 49th level of Kedusha, he could take us out of Mitzrayim, let us fall to the 49th level of Tumah, scrape out the Kedusha from the 49th level of Tumah. But if we would have fallen to the 50th level of Tumah, even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't have helped us. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't have access to the 50th level of Kedusha, cannot go down and scrape out the Kedusha of the 50th level of Tumah.
And Hashem promised we'll go to the 50th.
No, there are never promises. So the second thing you need to know is that the second thing you need to know is that tzaddikim, they could look at you and remove the sparks of Kedusha you have. And then you don't exist anymore. People think, yeah, I want to go to the tzaddik. It's good for the tzaddik to see me. No, not necessarily. If a tzaddik looks at somebody, they could extract the kedusha from them, and then the person doesn't exist anymore. That's what we find throughout Shas, that a tzaddik will look at somebody, and they become a pile of bones. It's a very common phenomenon in the Gemara, that tzaddik will look at somebody, and then they become gal shalat samais. How does that work? You have a tzaddik, he's on the 49th level of Kedusha. He looks at someone who's on the 49th level of Tumah. He sees there's one little spark. He could suck it out, and the person ceases to exist. Now, says the Rishoner, let me explain to you how it works. There's something called ayin, an eye. When you see something, when you look at something, you start to like it, and you start to want it. And when tzaddikim look at somebody, and they look at a rasha, they're going to see the spark of kedusha they have, and then they're going to want it. How do you say desire in Hebrew? Kesef, lichsoif. After ayin, what are the letters after ayin? Kesef, ayin, yud, nun, after. Right? You spell ayin, ayin, yud, nun. So after those letters, after ayin is a pei. After Yud is a Chaf. After Nun is a Samach, the letters of Kesef. The Tzaddik looks after the Ayin, after he looks, he wants, he sucks it out, and he removes the sparks of Kedusha. Says the Rishner, you know what it means that Shimshon went after his eye. Says the Rishner, the Pasuk says in Shoftim, he loved the Isha in Nachal Shoyrek. Her name, what was her name?
Delilah.
Delilah. Now I'll tell you something, just between me and you. One day in Eretz Yisrael, I went with my friend Reb Zev Tyberg. We went to the kever of Dun, and we went to the kever of Shimshon HaGibar. We took a very unusual route to Shimshon HaGibar through a quarry. We came to the top of the mountain. It was a very unusual feeling up there. And when we got there, there was a man, he was probably Eliyahu HaNavi, I'm assuming, guy with a long white beard, with a shofar like this, and he's just blowing the shofar. I didn't ask him his name, I'm just assuming it was Eliyahu HaNavi. And then there was a lady doing Kabbalistic Hakafa seriously around, and I just assumed it was Delilah. I was afraid to ask her name. But that, I'm telling you, there were other people there, you could ask them. That's, what? If I'd done, there were chickens, right? But, okay, I'm just telling you what happened. Anyway.
Where is it?
It's right in Beit Shemesh. So it's where Shevet Dan is. Shevet Dan's Chelak is...
Shemesh, Shimshon.
Yeah, exactly. When the Pasuk says, Vayehav Isha benachal shorek ushma delila, says the Rishner, another piece of information. There's some sparks of Kedusha that fall so deep, no tzaddik could get them out other than God. Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one who could rescue them. Some fall so deep that no tzaddik could get them. You know what it's called? When no tzaddik could get the sparks and only the Ribbono Shel Olam could get the sparks? It's called Doidi Yarad Leganoi La'arugas Haboisem. The Pasuk in Shir Shirim, my beloved goes down to the garden, to the rows of the herbs, of the fragrant plants. Listen carefully to the Pasuk. Doidi yarad leganoi la'arugas haboisem. Roshe tevois delila. Doidi yarad leganoi la'arugas haboisem. Delila. You know what I mean? Shimshon went after his eyes. Shimshon said, I could rescue the sparks of Kedusha no one was able to extract ever. I could go down to the abyss and take out Kedusha. Where's the abyss? Gaza. There's no Tumah like in Gaza. Not even in Egypt. Gaza has more Tumah than Egypt.
That's what they call it, Azza.
It is the epitome of Tumah. Shimshon said, Doidi. Shimshon went after his eyes. You see, there's a border. Tzadikim can only go to Memtes and pull out. Tzadikim can't go to the abyss and pull out. When, says the original, you know what it means that Shimshon went after his eyes? He went beyond the ayin, beyond what the eye is allowed to extract as a tzadik. Even tzadikim have limitations. Tzadikim could look and take out. Shimshon went after that. He went beyond what the ayin is allowed to extract. So God made him fall to Delilah. God was telling him, Doidi Yarad Laganer Larugas Abaisim. I'm the only one who could do this. You weren't allowed to do this. So now we're starting to understand why Yaakov Avinu thought that Shimshon was somebody that nobody in history else was, that he was Mashiach. Because Shimshon took it upon himself. He felt the inspiration that he could go into the abyss and yank out the sparks of Kedusha that are above and beyond what the eye is allowed to see. He took a woman, Ushema Delilah, says the original, Ushema, that was a makoim, that was Doidi, Yarad, Leganoi, La'arugas, Haboisem. So says the Shvilei Pinchas, what is this area? What is this place that tzaddikim can't go and yank out the sparks of Kedusha, but only God could go? What do we call this place? Isn't that an interesting question? Where is this special realm that only God says, Yodoidi, Yorad, Leganoi, La'arugas, Haboisem, but Tzadikim can't go there. There's only one Makom that Tzadikim cannot reach in their lifetime. Now, you'll say, the answer has to be very clear, because Tzadikim are able to go down to the Shar Mem Tes and yank out Kedusha. We saw in Mitzrayim. It must be, you know where Tzadikim cannot go to yank out Kedusha? They can't go down into the Shar Nun. Why not? Because they can't reach the Shar Nun of Kedusha, so they can't go down into the Shar Nun of Tumah and yank out the Kedusha. That's the Mokoim that Doidi Yorad Leganoi La'arugas Haboisem. The Shar Nun. Says the Shrilei Pinchas. That's why they're called Pelish, Pelishes Yam. They extend all the way down Yam to the 50th level of Tumah. That's why they're called Pelishtim. Because they're Pelishes. They extend. They sink. They plummet all the way Yam to the 50th level of Tumah. And Shimshon tried to go there. He wanted to go there. He went achar enav. He thought he could go beyond just what a regular tzaddik could see and yank out. Where is the makom in this world that tzaddikim cannot go and accomplish anything? The land of the Philistines. In Gaza, there are sparks of Kedusha only God could take out. That's what we see. That's what the Rishonim are saying. In the land of the Philistines, there are sparks of Kedusha. Raka Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmoy could be Doidi Yarad Leganoi La'arugas Haboisem. Now, by the way, says the Shvilei Pinchas, that's why the Jewish people come out of Mitzrayim. Oh, but V'loi Nacham Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim. God doesn't want us to go to the Philistines. Why not? He just took us out of Mitzrayim. Why can't He guide us through the land of the Philistines? The answer is He took us out of Mitzrayim because Moshe could yank us out of 49. We can't go to the Pelishes Yam. We can't sink into the 50th. Yeah, well, we're developing this further, yeah. Now, what exactly is this 50th level of Tumah? Many of the Sifrei Chasidus bring, for example, in the Sefer HaTeres Menachem, they bring from Rav Menachem Mendel Rimanov, Rav Moshe Misambar brings from Menachem Mendel Rimanov, also the Sefer Kilas Yaakov brings from Menachem Mendel Rimanov, that the klipa of the Plishtim is the klipa of Leitzanos. Leitzanos is the most poisonous of all the forces of Tumah. You know why? Because it could destroy any Kedusha. You could show it Kriyas Yamsuf. You could show it God Himself. They'll make a joke out of it. They could mock anything. With mockery, you could uproot any Kedusha. Okay, Marv Rabbeisai. Fasten your seatbelts. So we're getting, I think, at least a flavor, if not more, of A, what does it mean? Shimshon halach achar enav. He went beyond what the normal tzaddik's eye can use a method of extracting Kedusha. He went beyond that. And why Yaakov Avinu thought Shimshon HaGibor was a Melech HaMashiach. Because ultimately the job of Mashiach is Mashiach could go into the Shar Nun and yank it out. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, La'asad Lavai, we will fall to the 50th level. But through the Torah, we could extract Kedusha even from the 50th level. And Shvilei Pinchas, many Mekoimos writes, Mashiach is Rosh Tevois, Mashiach Yigala Shar Nun. Shar Chamishim. Mashiach is Rosh Tevois, Mashiach Yigala Shar Chamishim. Now, back to the Gemara. The Gemara says Shimshon had the same name as God. Why? Because God is compared to the sun. So Shimshon is like a Shemesh. So the Shvilei Pinchas says, so call him Shemesh. Where does the Vav, extra Vav Nun come from? Why is he called Shimshon? He should be called Shemesh. Ready for this? It's Oyem V'Noira, Mamish out of this world. Rabbeinu Bechai asks in Parshas Pinchas, does anybody remember there was a halachic dilemma that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know? He didn't know what to do with the benois slavchad. So Rabbeinu Bechai asked, how can he not know what to do benois slavchad? If Moshe doesn't know, then who knows? What does it mean it was beyond the comprehension of Moshe Rabbeinu? Do you remember the word the pasuk uses? Vayave mishpa tan. long none. Says Rabbeinu Bachaye, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what to do with the Bnei Slavchad? The law of what to do with Bnei Slavchad came from a shar that Moshe didn't know. It came from the shar nun. The final nun represents the shar nun. That Rizal explains, interestingly, in Parshas Truma, you know why the long nun represents the shar nun? Because what does the shar nun do? It goes all the way deep down and it can scrape the bottom of the barrel. So the final nun represents the 50th gate of wisdom because it goes all the way deep down. It's not afraid to go into the 50th level of tumah. Says the Sfilei Pinchas, that's why it's called perhaps Shimshon, son, and the Vav Hachibor, the Vav attaches him to the final nun of the shar nun. That's where the name comes from, Shimshon. Now, it looks like many of you are very proficient in your knowledge of Nevi'im. Does anybody know the god of the Philistines? What was the name of their Avodah Zarah?
Dagon.
Very good, Reb Shmuel. Dagon, give this man a cigar. Mm-hmm. Look at number 21. Eitzel Dagon. Rashi says, why is it called Dagon? Like it was the image of
fish.
So I asked the Shvila Pincha, so it should be called Dag. Why Dagon? No, the same thing. It's the god of the Philistines. So it's the koyach of the 50th level of Tuma. So it's Dag and the Vav Achibor to the final Nun. It was attached to the 50th level of Tuma. Now, says the Shvilei Pinchas, with this, we could explain, by the way, did you know that there was only one nation that had the audacity to steal our prized possession? The Arayin. We don't find not Amon, not Moav, not Edom, not Bavel. Nobody ever stole the Arayin. Nobody ever had a shot at getting the Arayin, except for the Philistines. Why'd they get the Arayin? Arayin is the Zera Kodesh writes, Rav Natali Rapshitz writes, Arayin is Rosh Hashanah, is Or Nun, the light of the 50th gate of wisdom. So the Plishtim, Pleshes Yam, their ambition is to counteract the 50th level Kedusha. So they're capturing the Arayin. Now, Delilia, Delila, Doidi, Yarad, Leganoi, La Arugas Havoisim. There's a remez to Delila by Yosef. The Megala Mukos writes, if you look at number 26, Vayakumu Kobana Vachobanoisav Lenachamai, Vayinotmoyin Lehisnachem, Vayoymer Ki Eireid El Bani Ovel Shaoila, says Megala Mukos, Eireid El Bani Ovel Shaoila Soife Tevois, Delila! Huh? What's Delila doing there about Yaakov Avinu being Vayimoyin? Says the Shvilei Pinchas, because we have to understand that what Shimshon HaGibar did with this woman, Delila, was as noble and righteous as a Nisayon that Yosef HaTzadik passed. And just like Yosef HaTzadik paved the way and saved Klal Yisrael, Shimshon HaGibar got really close. What does Shimshon HaGibar pray for? Zachrini na, chazkeni na. Megala Mukos says when Moshe Rabbeinu davens in Vaschanan, Ebra na, he was asking for na, is Nesiv Echad, Nesiv Esan, which is a reference to the Shar Nun. Shimshon HaGibar was being mispalel to be zoiche to the Shar Nun. One more amazing remez, and we're gonna explain. The Medrash says, if you count up the number of letters, Yaakov Avinu says to Dan, Yadin, Amoy, Ka'achad, Shivte Yisrael, Yehi, Dan, Nachash, Alei, Derach, Shvivayin, Alei, Oirach, Hanoyshech, Ikvei, Sus, Vayipol, Roich, Vayachar, 70 letters. The Medrash says, Shivim Shekel, B'Shekel HaKodesh, is a remez to the 70 letters that God is Mavarech, Shevet Dan. Says the Shvilei Pinchas, what are 70 letters doing there? So he brings an amazing teaching of the Arvei Nachal Rav David Ivshitz, in the name of the Shlach HaKadosh. You ever notice, sometimes the Gemara says there are 49 ways to darshan something. Tahar, Tameh. You know, we talk about Memtes, Sha'arim, 49 ways of darshaning. And sometimes we talk about Shivim Panim L'Torah. You ever hear that expression? Shivim Panim L'Torah. You ever hear the expression Memtes Panim? Which one is it? Is it 49 or is it 70? You know what the answer is? It's neither. It's 50. It's 49. And the 50th is Ekya. 21. You hear? It's not 49 and it's not 70. There are 50 gates. Chamishim Share Bina Nivru Ba'ilam. 49 is what we have access to. But the 50th is 21. It's the Shem Ekya. 21. So the number 70 represents the Shaar Nun. And therefore in the bracha to Dun, which Rashi learns was said to Shimshon Agibar, you have 70 letters, because Shimshon was davening, was asking for Zachreini Na, Chaskeini Na, he wanted access to the Shaar Nun. So here's the story of Shimshon Agibar. His parents, Manayach, and his wife, the Malach says, you're going to have a child, he's going to be a Nazir Meirechem. And he was born, and the Spirit of God is ringing in him. And he tells his parents, I don't want to marry a girl from the Beis Yaakov, I want that one. They said, but she's not from a Jewish family. No, Yashra Be'enai. His kavana was, he wanted to enter realms of Tumah that nobody entered. Where? The deepest, darkest levels in the Gaza, and he's going to extract the Kedusha. Until he married one woman, and then the father-in-law gave her away to someone else. He lived with a Zayna, Chazal say, in Gaza. Not the Pasuk says, in the beginning of Parak Tazayin. And then he married Dalila. And the Philistines, now why did he marry Dalila? That was his way of trying to enter the world of the Philistines, get in, extract the Kedusha that lay in the deepest, darkest levels of Tumah. Now, the Philistines say to Dalila, we'll pay you big time if you could get the secret from Shimshon of what's the source of his strength. And she would ask him, hey, you hate me. Why don't you tell me why you're so strong? He said, I'll tell you I'm so strong because they don't tie me with twines that are moist. If they would tie me with twines that are moist, then I would never be able to break out. So they try it, and he breaks out. She says, you're mocking me, you're mocking me. That's not why you're so strong. He said, well, if you use new ropes, then I'll never be able to get out. And they tie him with new ropes, and he breaks out. And she says, you're mocking me, you're mocking me. And she made him miserable until finally he says that the reason I'm so strong is you got to tie the locks of my hair. And they tie the locks of his hair and he still breaks out. Until finally he reveals to her the source of his strength is that he's a Nazir Meirechem. And if they shave off the 7 locks of his hair, he will be like an ordinary man. And she put him to sleep, and they came, and they shaved off his hair, and when they came to attack him, he was powerless, and they blinded his 2 eyes. And we think it's a punishment to him that he went after his eyes, but this is all part of the Hashgach of Hashem, because Shimshon HaGibar then gets up and he says, Zachreini na, help me reach the Shaar Chamishim. Chazkeini na, if I could reach the Shaar Chamishim, I know what they're going to do. They carry Shimshon off, and now he's standing opposite their Avodah Zarah Dagoin. He's mamish opposite the epitome of the 50th level of Tumah. And Yaakov Avinu sees this, that Shimshon HaGibar has a connection to the Shaar Nun of Kedusha, and he'll be able perhaps to extract it. And he says, if only I could avenge one of my eyes. Rashi says the other eye he wanted to be rewarded for in Olam Haba. So Yaakov Avinu sees this and he says, you know what? He thought Shimshon HaGibar would be the Melech HaMashiach who could be Mashiach Yigala Shaar Chamishim. But ultimately, he couldn't fully do it. But he did it a little bit. Because then he asked the child next to him, would you mind if I just leaned on two of the poles of the building. And he leans on the two of the poles of the building, and there were 3,000 Philistines on the top. And when he shook the building, they came crashing down, more Philistines on that day than all the Philistines that he killed in his whole career. So Shimshon HaGibor merited maybe a little bit to be mischaber with the Vav HaChibur to the Shaar Nun, to the extent that Yaakov Avinu thought he was the Melech HaMashiach, and he said, this man doesn't need help like God. Other tzaddikim couldn't do that. No other tzaddik could reach so deep down and rescue these souls. He's Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael. So Yaakov thought he was the Melech HaMashiach. Do we have six people who didn't daven? Six people who didn't daven? No, I'm the only one. Two people? Everyone else daven? Okay. Shimshon HaGibor was able to do what no other tzaddik did. But ultimately, God gave him Delila, and the message was, Doidi Yarad Leganoi La'aruga Savoisem. This is something, this is a depth, this is a makoim. I'm the only one who could be victorious there. You know, if you ever wonder, why is this place Gaza? It's been so hard to conquer. All the years, back and forth, bad, it's such a thorn in our side. What is it that we can't finish the job? It's the one makoim. It's Doidi Yarad Leganoi La'arugas Haboisem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the only one who could do it. Even Shimshon HaGibor couldn't do it. Was Yaakov totally mistaken? Yaakov thought he was the Melech HaMashiach. Was he totally mistaken? So now put on a double seatbelt. You had a regular buckle, now shoulder strap. The Arizal is reported in the Shaar HaKavanos. In the Shaar HaKavanos of the Ari, he brings that when you say the words V'chisei David Avdecha Mehira L'Soicha Tochen, you need to be mechavein to a pshat. The Arizal said that Shmaya and Avtalion told me. Shmaya V'Avtalion and Shmaya V'Avtalion were in the times of the Tanoim. No, when the Arizal went to the kever of Shmaya V'Avtalion, Shmaya V'Avtalion told the Ari that when you say the words V'chisei David Mehira L'Soicha Tochen, you should be mechavein to daven that Mashiach ben Yosef should not be killed by Armilos HaRasha. In the pre-Eitz Chaim, it's reported that the Ari warned very greatly that Shmaya Naftalion told him many times that when you say V'chisei David Avdecha, daven that Mashiach ben Yosef should live and not die. Says Reb Chaim Vital, we didn't know why the Arizal told us this so often, but in the end, we understood why, because the Arizal died. What does Reb Chaim Vital mean? Says the Shvi'a Pinchas, Reb Chaim Vital means that we didn't know why the Arizal was so adamant that we daven that Mashiach ben Yosef didn't die until we saw that the Arizal wanted us to daven Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't die because he was Mashiach ben Yosef. And the fact that he died young was the death of Mashiach ben Yosef. Reb Nosson Shapiro explains that in every generation, Mashiach ben Yosef could come again, and the tzaddikim could protect that he shouldn't die. But if no one could protect him, and he dies, that's sort of the fate of Mashiach ben Yosef in that generation. And that protects that Armilo should not kill, ultimately, Mashiach ben Yosef. Where are we going with this? In 1648, there was a man by the name of Reb Shamshon Me'ashtapoli. He died a very young man in the Gzeres of Tachvatat. Does anybody know some of the names of the Svarim he wrote? He wrote a Sefer Dun Yadin, a commentary on the Sefer Karnayim. He wrote a Sefer Nazir Elohim. He wrote a Sefer Shemesh Umagain. He wrote a Sefer Shemesh Noiga. All of his Svarim were named after Shimshon HaGibor. Why? Because my name, he says, is connected to Shimshon HaGibor, who comes from Dun. Shebami Dun. Shimshon, Rav Shamshon Me'ashtapoli was connected to Shimshon HaGibar. He was like a spark of Shimshon HaGibar. That was his name, and that was the name of all of his Sfarim. One thing we know about Shamshon of Ashtapoli, the Chayz of Lublin says something out of this world. Says the Chayz of Lublin, even though the Arizal said that we have to daven that Meshech ben Yosef shouldn't die young and shouldn't be killed by Armilus, he will not be killed by Armilus and Meshech ben Yosef will not die. The Chayz of Lublin said, listen, that even though the Arizal said Meshech ben Yosef could die, he won't die. Why? Because he already died. When? Rav Shamshon Me'ashtapoli. When Rav Shamshon Me'ashtapoli died, he made it, then Mashiach ben Yosef won't have to die. That's what the Chayz of Lublin writes.
So how many Mashiach ben Yosef?
There were in every generation. But once Rav Shamshon Me'ashtapoli died young, the fate of Mashiach ben Yosef will not be that he will have to die young. Once Rav Shamshon was killed, Meshech ben Yosef does not have to die young. By the way, Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes that the Chayza of Lublin wrote this to make it that by saying it, it should be. So let's put two and two together. Rav Shamshon Me'ashtapoli, the Chayza of Lublin says, was Meshech ben Yosef. He was a spark of Shimshon HaGibar. If he was a spark of Shimshon HaGibar, then what we're learning is, who was Shimshon HaGibar? He was the first Mashiach ben Yosef. So when Yaakov Avinu saw, and Chazal say, that Yaakov Avinu thought he was Mashiach, he wasn't completely mistaken. He, in fact, was Mashiach ben Yosef, even though, by the way, he was from Shevet Dan, because Dan was from Bila. And Bila is like considered Mibenois Rachel. So this should give us a little bit of a taste for the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Dan. Because ultimately, when Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to Dan, Rashi says it's not going on Shevet Dan generally, it's going specifically on Mashiach ben Shimshon HaGibar. Even though the Rashbam says, how could it be going on Shimshon HaGibar? Chalila v'chalila. That it's going on somebody who the Philistines pierced his eyes and he died in a terrible way. The answer is, even though he died in a terrible way, nevertheless, what he accomplished was a feat that is above and beyond. He went after his eyes. Simply, it's a criticism of Shimshon HaGibar. And it is. But the deeper meaning of after his eyes is he went beyond the realm of what ordinary tzaddikim are allowed to do or are able to do. And to some extent, he did it a bit. He was Shemesh and was Meschaber with the Vav, the Shar Nun. Therefore, in his bracha, there's 70 words. 70 is 49 and 21, 50, right? 70 in mathematics equals 50. You know that? How? 70 is 49 plus 1, because that 1 is Ekya, is 21. This was the unique personality and greatness of Shimshon HaGibar. Chazal say, Yaakov saw him, the Savar Shumelech HaMashiach. Yaakov thought the Geula would come in his lifetime. Chazal say, he's ki yechidoi shaloylam. Just like the Yibon Shem doesn't need help, Shimshon, in a way, he went above and beyond. He didn't need help, but he did. He needed help. He went somewhere beyond where he could go. And ultimately, that's why Yaakov Avinu davens. You ready? Yaakov foresaw what Shimshon HaGibar would do. He thought he would be Mashiach. He gave him a brach of 70 words that he should reach the Shar Nun. But when he saw, says Rashi, that they would pierce his eye and he would daven Zachreini Na, Yaakov realized that the ultimate Yeshua could only be accomplished by Delila, Doidi, Yorad, Leganoi, Larugas, Haboisem, and therefore Yaakov davened Lishuascha, Kivisi, Hashem. The Yeshua, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is the only one who could accomplish it. Even Shimshon HaGibar couldn't go that deep down. So we should be zoicha to the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, Lishuascha, Kivisi, Hashem. And with this we conclude Sefer Bereishis, Chazak, Chazak, Finis Chazek. Shkoyach, everyone.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.